With 26 days to go until the midterm elections, can the GOP maintain control of Congress, both the House and the Senate?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are 26 days out from the midterm elections that will determine whether the Republicans maintain control of the House of Representatives. That is very key, and that is what has been most focused on. And will Republicans in the Senate be able to actually increase their margins? Now, you don't take anything for granted, but we are going to go through some numbers and statistics today with the most relevant polls and information out there on the key races to show you why it's, again, the House that I think is in most jeopardy. But there seems to be a tide turning. Will the tide turn quickly enough is the question. I want to get your thoughts on that. 1-800-684-3110. If you're in these states that are, you know, purple states, swing states, if you've got one of these congressional races in the House that's a toss up that, again, maybe a Republican has people are saying, well, maybe the Democrats got a chance this time. Give us a call. Will Republicans be able to figure out how to maintain control of the House of Representatives? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Just to give you a little example, President Trump last night was in Pennsylvania, in Erie, Pennsylvania. When you look at this, the races that are up that either could go as far as likely Dem to likely GOP and what's in between, there are two toss-ups that are Republican seats in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania 1, which is Fitzpatrick. Pennsylvania 7, which is open. There's a one that leans a GOP, that's Scott Perry, and then one that is likely GOP, that's Mike Kelly, but still on the scale. Mike Kelly, a good friend of ours. On the leans Dem, you've got a matchup between two incumbents because of redistricting, one Republican, one Democrat, that Democrat being Connor Lamb. He's got a pretty sizable lead in that race. Pennsylvania also has two more that are open, Pennsylvania 5 and Pennsylvania 6. So no surprise that President Trump was there last night at that rally. He'll be heading to Ohio tomorrow and to Kentucky on Friday. There are toss-up races there in Kentucky, the Kentucky 6 congressional district for Andy Barr. And then in Ohio, you've got Ohio 1 and Ohio 12 leading GOP, that's Steve Chabot and Balderston, as well as a likely GOP race there in Joyce. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why the president, vice president, hitting the campaign trail, this is targeted. And it looks to be, right now, Than, very targeted on House races.
Yeah, these trips are definitely House-centric, not even Senate races up for contest in at least some of these instances, Jordan. But look, I think the president's doing the right thing, because when you look at a midterm election like this, you always start with a delta between the enthusiasm of the party that is out of power, in this case the Democrat Party, and the enthusiasm of the party that controls all the levers of government. Jordan, the best way to close that delta, to narrow the enthusiasm gap, is for the leader of the party, in this case President Trump, who is wildly popular in these districts, to show up in the campaign. So, yes, these are House-centric trips for the president, probably the very best way to close that enthusiasm delta. And I would just say this, Jordan, you don't actually have to reverse the enthusiasm gap all the way. You just have to narrow it, because in most of these toss-up districts in the House, you're talking about Republican seats that need to be defended. Now, there's no doubt they're going to lose some House seats across the map, but Jordan, if they can defend just a handful of them, they're going to retain the majority.
Let me tell you something, folks. The rhetoric on the other side of the aisle, the Democrats, is really increasing in vitriol, including from Eric Holder. We'll play that. You will not believe what Eric Holder said. And of course, Hillary Clinton has taken it up a notch as well. What it would take to get back to civility in Congress for Hillary Clinton. Not what you think. We'll play it for you when we get back on Jay Sekulow Live. 1-800-684-3110. Do you believe there's a path for Republicans to maintain control, not just of the U.S. Senate, but of the House of Representatives as well? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking politics today.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
You know, John on Facebook writes in, if the Republicans can't keep the House but do maintain control in the Senate, would you consider that a win for the GOP? Listen, a few weeks ago, maybe, because it was looking like the Senate could be in jeopardy. Listen, we're 26 days out. Something could change. That's why we're going to keep doing these shows and update you. Not every day, but we will update you as we get closer and closer because things do change that have an impact. A few weeks ago, it looked like the Senate could be in jeopardy for Republicans. Right now, it looks like the Senate is not, that it is pretty firmly in control of Republican senators. In fact, there's talk of adding more Republican seats. I mean, it's 51-49, so any kind of positive add would be good. Now, it's still very tight margins with 26 days out, so take nothing for granted because so much can happen so quickly in politics. That being said, because it looks like the Senate is more relatively safe for now, 26 days out for Republicans, that it really, the victory would be, I think, can they maintain control of the House, even if it's the slimmest of margins. I think keeping control of the Senate should not be so overly celebrated. It'd be great. It's obviously important, I think, for conservatives, especially with nominations and things like that. But it's really the House here, at least 26 days out.
Yeah, the Democrats' chance in the Senate, Jordan, are a really long shot. I mean, you're going to have to pull off an upset in, you know, either Tennessee or Texas and then sweep all of the contested races the Democrats are defending. I mean, if you just look at the raw numbers of the 35 seats up in the Senate, Jordan, 26 of them are held by Democrats and 10 of them are in states that Donald Trump won. So that's a very unfavorable map to them. I think the Republicans are going to control the Senate. And I agree with you. I think they're going to expand their majority there. In the House, Jordan, I think all of the pressure, honestly, is on the Democrats. They assumed they were going to flip control of the House. Historical data says that you would. Their base is animated because they don't like the president by and large, although I would tell you in specific districts that is very much not true in seats that they need to win. So I think they might be overselling their advantage in that regard. But look, the pressure is on them because if House Republicans can maintain even a one-seat majority, that's not just a victory. That is a huge monumental victory for them. And honestly, the Democrat Party, the demoralization that would take place in that scenario, Jordan, it's almost hard to describe.
Now, here to me is what is most shocking is the vitriol going into this from our former cabinet members of the Obama administration and attorney general. Remember, that's not so DOJ. We're told not supposed to be partisan and Everybody should be able to be treated fairly, and it's not really under, even though it's part of the executive branch, we're told that really it's supposed to be independent. The president shouldn't order the attorney general around. Take a listen to Eric Holder on the campaign trail in Georgia. Listen to the words he uses. This is the former U.S. attorney general who was supposed to be the top law enforcement official for the whole country, not just for Democrats, but he weaponized that DOJ. And that kind of language he uses once again. Take a listen.
They have used the power that they have gotten for all the wrong things. They want to keep themselves in power. They want to cater to the special interests. It is time for us as Democrats to be as tough as they are, to be as dedicated as they are, to be as committed as they are. Michelle always says, Michelle Obama, I love her, you know, she and my wife like really tight, which always scares me and Barack. But Michelle always says that, you know, when they go low, we go high. No, no. When they go low, we kick them.
And that again, folks, where we've seen violence out at the campaign rallies, we've seen Antifa, we've seen, Trump supporters being attacked. And I don't think this kind of violent language is good for either side, but from the nation's top law enforcement official. A couple things in that statement. One, he criticizes the other side, you know, conservatives, Republicans, for wanting power for all the wrong things. And the first thing he says is they want to keep themselves in power. Now, if you really think about that, if you believe in the policies that you want to implement, of course you need to remain in power. Because you can't implement the policies you believe in if you don't remain in power. So this idea that they want to stay in power is somehow a bad thing. No, that's a good thing if you are trying to implement your policies. You have to stay in power. If you lose, you will not be able to implement your policies. Second, kicking people, again, this idea that we're going to, when they go low, Republicans, that we are going to kick them. I know he's not probably saying actually kick them. I mean, he's saying it verbally. So don't, you know, but again, people hear that differently than Eric Holder intended it, especially coming from a top law enforcement official. But Than, to me, it sets the tone. And I'd love to hear from our callers as well on this idea that the former attorney general of the United States is telling Democrat activists to kick those Republican activists when they go low, whatever that means and how they define that. Than, that is tough, tough rhetoric coming from our nation's former top law enforcement official.
It's tough, and I would argue inappropriate, Jordan, given the political climate that we're in right now, where threats of violence and actual violence have been taking place. Look, I mean, I'm glad you made this distinction, because our founders set up a way of government, Jordan, that was intended to have tension in it. You wanted to have tension. You needed to have power. The idea was that the best and strongest ideas would prevail. But what you see in that quote, and I think one that you might be playing up in a minute here, is not looking for ideas to prevail. It's looking for the preservation of political power at any cost, and using any form, I would say including force, to keep it, Jordan. That is not what our founders intended. There should be tension, but it should be tension over ideas, ways for a stronger government, ways to advance the American people, and then at the end of the day, coming together around those ideas. Jordan, that sound from Eric Holder, it perpetuates what I think is a dangerous atmosphere we have in society right now, and quite frankly, he should be ashamed for it.
And then it gets even more unique from Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, of course, can't stop getting involved in politics. Take a listen to what she has to say. She, former Secretary of State, former First Lady, who lost the presidential election to Donald Trump. Take a listen.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again.
So you can only be civil with people you disagree with if you get power back in either the House or the Senate, Hillary Clinton. You can't be civil on policy disagreements, because the way you describe policy disagreements are destroying what you stand for and care about. That's not very civil. So the only way to get back to civility is to have the Democrats take the House or the Senate, because they're really civil. Remember Brett Kavanaugh's hearing? Really civil people on that other side of the aisle, let me tell you. I mean, let's just stop there. This is politics. It is tough. But the language coming out is we can only be civil if we get some power back, is what Hillary Clinton said. Kick them, is what Eric Holder said. Let's go to your phones, 1-800-684-3110. And then I want to contrast this. In fact, let's contrast it now. President Trump uses a lot of tough language on the campaign trail. He does. And he's known for it. He tweets tough language as well. He's passionate, and he speaks in a way that is unique for any American president. But listen to him last night. This is at a rally in Erie, Pennsylvania. And we talked about why he was there. There are a number of House seats there that are either leaning Dem, like Pennsylvania 17 or Pennsylvania 6, Pennsylvania 5, a lot of open seats. One toss up in Pennsylvania 7 and Pennsylvania 1, and Pennsylvania 16. So a lot of reasons for him to be in Erie, Pennsylvania last night. Take a listen to his rhetoric.
This election is about your families, your values, and what kind of country you want to leave for your children. This election is about keeping America safe, keeping America strong, keeping America proud, keeping America free.
So, Than, I guess Hillary Clinton means that you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to, that cares about your family values or the country you want to leave for your children, keeping America safe, strong, and proud, and free. And so that you can't be civil with that. And Eric Holder believes you got to kick that down, that message. That's not civil. I mean, again, this idea that if you disagree with the policies, you must go to war, not just in the political sense, but in the vitriolic sense.
Well, and they're saying that into a political environment, Jordan, where the American people overwhelmingly went to the polls and chose the policies that Eric Holder and Hillary Clinton do not agree with. So, look, I mean, they had their opportunity to put their ideas forward. There's a reason they're not in power. It's because the American people chose the ideas that they do not stand for. And so, look, the incitement tactics, I'll say this, Jordan, the incitement tactics that we saw during this Kavanaugh process, they cannot be rewarded. So I'm as much about outreach to people who disagree with me as anyone you're going to find. But look, if you're going to reward the tactics that were used during this Brett Kavanaugh process, you are going to get more of them. It's time for officials in Washington, D.C. to not tolerate that anymore. And you know what that's going to require, Jordan? It's going to require a little more toughness, a little more backbone than we have traditionally seen from a governing party, including the Republicans, by the way, here in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah. Republicans need to get tough for this election cycle, 26 days, because here's what's coming. Eric Holder says kick them while they're down. Hillary Clinton says throw civility out the door until we get power back. I mean, that basically says do whatever necessary to win, beat them however and whatever it costs. And they tried that with Brett Kavanaugh, even in a nomination. We get back. We take your phone calls, your comments on Facebook and Periscope. Go to ACLJ.org. Right back on the broadcast.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So the question of today, and I'm sure we'll be asked this question a number of times. This is 26 days until the midterm elections. The question is, will Republicans remain in control of Congress? Senate's looking pretty good right now. A House, definitely still a toss-up, but I think it's back in play for Republicans. A few weeks ago, it looked like the Senate might even be in play for Democrats, and the Democrats are almost certainly going to take back the House. Now, this is still very serious. If people don't get out and vote on the conservative side, guess what? It's anyone's game. I've been part of swing elections before. My first job in politics in 2002 was one of these. And Democrats, they really got caught off guard at state levels, at Senate levels. And because of that, things changed significantly, and they just weren't ready for this wave that occurred. So there can be waves. Sometimes, though, it's a little bit more muted than that. More muted than that would probably be good for Republicans, which means, yes, you can lose plenty of seats in the House and still maintain your majority. So you can lose than 22 seats, right, if you're Republicans.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, look, I think you look at it this way, Jordan. They basically have 240 seats right now. So they are currently possessing virtually every purple district in the nation. I mean, it's not quite everyone, but this is one of the biggest majorities that Republicans would be likely to see in this environment. So look, they're going to lose some of them, and that is not a loss. The magic number is 218. If they were to lose 22 of the seats that they currently hold and emerge from this with a 218 to 217 majority, Jordan, that would be a victory. I think by every Republican in Washington would tell you that's a victory.
Yeah, that is definitely a victory. And then the Senate, I think it would be a huge loss if at this point the Senate turned Democrat. I don't see those signs right now. A few weeks ago, people were pointing to it. That's kind of changed. But listen, let's be honest. 26 days, long time in politics. That's why we're going to do these shows to update you and keep you informed. We have so many calls that we're going to start taking them right now. Let's go to Pat in Texas online too. Pat, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Jordan, thank you for your program, and I thank your dad and everybody that works there. My only thing is two things. People got to get out and vote, and if they don't, it's not going to make a difference. I'm telling you, they're going to regret it if they don't. Second thing is, if you don't mind me asking, I need prayer for my wife, who we're going to go in Friday to find out if it's cancer in her breast. Please pray for my wife, Bonnie Moody.
Hey, Pat, we will certainly call for people to pray. We, for everybody out there, we pray often for our audience, and I appreciate you adding that. I mean, it takes bold to be on a radio show and ask for that. So I'll ask our listeners right now to pray for Pat's wife as she's going through that, and I appreciate your call, Pat. Let me also say that Pat is right, that people have got to vote. Ultimately, midterm elections are about voter turnout, party enthusiasm, and so it's about who shows up on election day, and the early voting, things like that have made it a little different, but it is basically about enthusiasm.
Especially in a midterm, Jordan. I mean, if you look at the issue polling, I think it'll be the economy, which is very strong for the GOP, and national security, which is very strong for the president, that will be the top issues. But, Jordan, in a midterm, the biggest factor is always which party is able to drive out their base the best. And it is always easier for someone who is out of power, because it's easier to motivate them to return to power than it is for someone who, a voter who might be complacent, might be on the fence, think that their party has all the levers of government. So that is why, just naturally, politically, historically, the GOP starts at a disadvantage this year. But Jordan, I think what you started this show out with, which is the rhetoric and often borderline violent rhetoric that we've seen on the left, I think that has dramatically and maybe historically closed that enthusiasm gap in this election. So to Pat's point, yes, it is all about voting. I mean, you look at the United States Senate, the 49th and 50th seats for the GOP, before you really even get into the toss-ups, are probably North Dakota, and Tennessee. Jordan, if voters don't get out in those two states, I mean, those are not seats that Republicans will hold. In North Dakota, the buy ads for the whole entire state are very, very cheap, so it is very easy to turn out an opposition base. So Pat is correct. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, the enthusiasm gap will be the determining factor in these midterm elections.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned North Dakota. Let me pull up the current polling, and Heidi Heitkamp is the incumbent. She voted against Brett Kavanaugh. A lot of people saw that as maybe her giving up on her race, but just to make clear there, the spread, if you average all, is about an 8-point lead for the Republican challenger Kramer in North Dakota. Some have even showed him up 12, but Heitkamp has been elected before. There will be money pouring in, I assume, unless it just gets totally out of hand. Because she did vote against Brett Kavanaugh, I bet the Democrats come in for her. That was probably part of the deal, is to help at least try. So a lead like Kramer's, while it's great right now, 26 days out in these polls, it really is about the turnout. People have voted for Heidi Heitkamp before in North Dakota. They've never voted for Kramer. So will they turn out in droves to send Heidi Heitkamp packing from Washington, D.C.? Let's go to Tennessee as well. Tennessee is one that, again, has shown to be closer than expected between a well-known Congresswoman, Marsha Blackburn. She's served in Congress. You've seen her a lot in conservative and cable news. She's running for Senate, got great name ID in the country, but also in Tennessee. She's also running against another person who has great ID, though, in Tennessee, a Democrat named Phil Bredesen, who was the former governor. He also announced that he would have voted yes on Brett Kavanaugh. Now, easy for him to say that when he's not actually in the Senate. He is a Democrat. He tries to play very much to the middle. Now, the latest poll that just came out from CBS between just this was October 2nd to October 5th has Blackburn up 8. So that was a big swing. But the other polls have showed it much closer to some of the earlier polls. So it's really within the margin of error. I'd treat that as a margin of error race than and even in North Dakota, treat it very seriously, because if you could hold on to Tennessee and flip North Dakota, that's a big win.
Well, and I would say just one thing on each of those races, Jordan. First of all, in North Dakota, part of the reason that the race has run so rapidly towards Kevin Kramer is because of how few votes are cast there. I mean, you're talking about only 300,000 votes statewide in that race. So a lead can open quickly. It can also close quickly, Jordan. So, you know, the ad buys that you would spend in that state can move a lot of votes. In Tennessee, I really think Phil Bredesen got hurt very badly this week, because while he did say that he would vote for Kavanaugh if he were in the Senate, he also got caught, some of his staff on undercover video, Jordan, saying that that was not actually
right.
True, that was just a political statement, and that if he were actually casting a vote, he would oppose Brett Kavanaugh. So look, I think he did make a politically motivated statement on Brett Kavanaugh. I think that video coming out really hurts him. I think Marsha Blackburn was probably the political favorite, certainly going in anyway. I think Phil Bredesen, while he's run a good race, Jordan, I don't think he had a lot of margin for error, and this was a pretty big error coming down the stretch.
And of course, we're not getting into all the gubernatorial races out there. Tennessee does have one of those where the Republican is far ahead in the polls for the Democrat. So there's that also going that affects things, certainly. I mean, all these different, if you've got a governor on top, if you've got the Senate on top, if you've got lots of contested races in the House level, driving different kinds of turnout, depending on where you live. We're going to take your phone call second half hour. We're basically going to be taking phone calls second half hour on politics. We don't always do this on this broadcast, but today is a day we're focusing 100% on politics. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We opened a couple of lines up as we go through these important races. Can the Republicans maintain control, not just of the U.S. Senate, but even the House of Representatives? Tough, but we believe possible 26 days out. We'll tell you why. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
If you're just joining us, the big question of the day, 26 days out to the midterm elections. And the big question is, can Republicans maintain control of both the House and the Senate? I mean, you may be shocked by hearing that right now because you've heard so often that, oh, no, the Democrats are definitely going to take control of the House. I think the Republicans right now, 26 days out, that could change 18 days out. You may hear something different from me, but that's why we do these shows staggered as we lead up to the election day. As we're 26 days out, it looks like Republicans are really just seeing how many extra seats they could add to their majority in the Senate. Some of that is just based off how many Democrats are up for re-election. Out of the 35 races, it is 26 are Democrats. So that's a lot of seats just to focus on. And then you got to work on then adding. So that makes it just tougher mathematically. And also the states, 10 of those states are in states that Donald Trump won. So it makes it even that much tougher, which is why you've got a leaning GOP and a Democrat incumbent like Heidi Heitkamp, you've got toss-up Democrat races in Florida, Indiana, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, the only two toss-ups on that list for Republicans are Arizona and Nevada and Tennessee. And I think Tennessee, they're starting to see this move kind of with better polling. We'll try to see if Marshall Blackburn gets kind of into that 10-point range or not. Latest polls have shown that. But again, that's a big difference when you've got that many D's, that many R's. I mean, so we'll go through all of it for you right now. Let me play for you again, because I think it resets the stage, though, what we're going to be facing from the other side's kind of leaders, former leaders. Here's Eric Holder. He's in Georgia campaigning when he makes this comment. Take a listen. He used to be the former top law enforcement official. Now, we had a lot to say about Eric Holder. I believe he weaponized the Department of Justice, and we're still seeing the effects of that as DOJ also oversees the FBI. But take a listen to his political rhetoric on the campaign trail yesterday.
They have used the power that they have gotten for all the wrong things. They want to keep themselves in power. They want to cater to the special interests. It is time for us as Democrats to be as tough as they are, to be as dedicated as they are, to be as committed as they are. Michelle always says, Michelle Obama, I love her, you know, she and my wife like really tight, which always scares me and Barack. But Michelle always says that, you know, when they go low, we go high. No, no. When they go low, we kick them.
I mean, again, he's talking to a Democrat audience, but this idea of language like kick him, and he had to go back and explain, well, I didn't mean actually attack, but we've actually seen people be attacked over politics, and specifically, more recently, it's been the left attacking conservatives physically with politics, and politics should never, we should be able to disagree vehemently, run very tough campaigns against one another without resorting to any kind of violence or violent a rhetoric, especially rhetoric that's that generic, just kick them, you know. And then Hillary Clinton, she described what's necessary to get back to civility in politics. It's pretty shocking what she believes is required for Democrats to start acting civil again.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again.
So you can't be civil with people. I mean, she says destroy what you care about, but with people with on the other side of the aisle who have policy differences from you, you can't be civil. You can only be civil if you're in power. You can only be, so you're only civil when you are the one making the rules. That's when you can be civil. I think that is just, again, that these kind of messages are what put Democrats in trouble leading into midterm elections. These kind of leaders, the Eric Holders and Hillary Clinton types, should probably get off the campaign trail. As a Democrat consultant, that's what I would advise. Get them off the campaign trail and stop these distractions and bad statements. We come back, your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 on Jay Sekulow Live. We're praying for all those who are affected by Hurricane Michael. We're not ignoring that, but we know they're dealing with a lot.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, because we've taken calls throughout the show today. There are some phone lines open for you right now. The big question is this: do you believe, and I'd like to know, you know, what state you live in? Are you in a state where there's a contested Senate race, gubernatorial race, or in a House district? Do you live in a House state, in a House district with a congressional race that is highly contested? Do you believe that Republicans can maintain control of the Senate and the House? I mean, that's the big question, is the House right now. If the Senate it becomes in question, I think we're at a different point. Now we're 26 days out from Election Day, so a lot can happen, but really want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. People have been holding on. Let's go right to the phones. Don in New Mexico, online for Don. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for your time, and thank you for what you do. So here's the deal. I'm in New Mexico, and so there's really no contested races here. It is pretty heated for our governor race and also for replacement of Steve Parris because he's running for Mexico governor. But in terms of what's really going on, I work in a call center where we do surveys, and so I talk to a lot of people from all walks of life, and it seems to me that people are praying more. I called someone yesterday. I said, would you be able to do a survey at 7 o'clock? And she says, no, we're going to church. We're going to be praying for this election. And I just said, thank you 17 times, very seriously. And I know several people who are praying. I know that there are people who have actually volunteering in the Republican offices. Now, I don't vote for parties. I really vote for people.
Yep.
And it seems to me that God needs to be at the forefront of what's going on. I'm not asking for my will. I'm asking for his will. But I love what you guys are doing in terms of educating us. Here's the biggest key I see. Do not become complacent.
Yeah.
We lost Alabama because we became complacent. We know that they used the smear tactics against him. The truth, we don't know. God knows. But the same thing they did with Brett Kavanaugh. And if you heard recently, you had two situations. McConnell said recently, this garbage that the Democrats are doing, not Democrats, but Democrats are doing, is wrong. And also you heard Paul, Senator Paul, Rand Paul is very concerned about what's going on here. And I find it really aggravating that Holder used kick 'em, because that is Nikki Haley's statement about bad behavior and all this garbage. Perfect example of Alinsky's radical rules.
That's where they come from. I mean, this is a guy, and Don, I appreciate all of your comments, and we, you know, I think that you get it too. We're not telling people who to vote for here. I mean, obviously, we are conservatives, and we have a pretty big conservative audience. But we have people from both sides of the aisle listening, and we're trying to educate you with these. We encourage everybody to vote, to get out there and exercise your ability to vote. It's something unique to the American experience that we have been able to spread to the world. But certainly we have this, I think, this setup that makes it so unique, even on the federal side, where we have these separation of powers that you're a part of by electing the executive leadership, the president, and also senators, and a house that's divided, so it checks on each other even within the legislative branch. That being said, the rhetoric, I do believe we are in a point in time. We're only 26 days out. I think that the Democrats are feeling maybe a little bit desperate, and so the rhetoric could actually get nastier. Some of it will be localized. Some won't be as national. But I could see this really getting nasty very soon, because things may not be looking as good for Democrats, like taking back the House, for instance.
Yeah, I think that trend is set, Jordan. I mean, I would say a couple of things. First of all, the caller talked about how politics is not the most important thing in her life, and I think that's a good thing. But look, if you wanted to remain that way, you have to limit the power that Washington, D.C. has. And quite frankly, I think that's why this is working against the Democrat rhetoric right now, because they do want to centralize more power in Washington, D.C. As for the tone and how it will affect individual races, I think you touched on it earlier. When the leaders and the spokesmen of your party are saying things like Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder did, and then when Cory Booker and Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren are sort of your flag bearers for the party across the country, Jordan, in these key races we're talking about on this show today, that does not help the Democrat nominee. I think the nominees in those races, in those districts, cringe when that happens. So I do think you're correct. I think the rhetoric is going to ramp up, but I think it has a direct correlation to why most of these races we're talking about in the course of the last couple of weeks, Jordan, most of the numbers, almost all of them, have trended towards the Republican nominee. I don't think that is an accident. I think it's a direct correlation.
Yeah, I mean, if you keep seeing that for the next 26 days, you're going to see more and more desperation from a Democrat party who thought it was all but certain that they were going to take back control of the House. I'm not saying they can't do that at this point, 26 days out, but the tactics could be really shifting as we speak, and to the nastier personal attacks and moving away from just issue attacks. Let's go right back to the phones. Josh has been holding on a long time in New Mexico. Josh, we appreciate that you are now on the air with us.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate all the work that you guys do. I listen to you as often as I can, every day if possible. But I just wanted to make a comment about those clips that you played with Eric Holder and Hillary Clinton. It just, to me, it sounds like they're pointing at the finger, yet they're pointing the finger at what they're doing instead of what the actual Republican Party is doing.
No, I mean, they are saying, we're not going to act. Hillary Clinton saying, we will not be civil unless we get power. I'm not misquoting her. That's exactly what she said. Unless we take back the House or the Senate or both, we will not become civil. So we will only be civil if we have power, because the other side wants to destroy our values. Now, she uses that term, but we're talking about policy differences. You should be able to be civil and have policy differences, even vehemently disagree and yet still be civil. Tough debates and still be civil. Things may get heated at times, but ultimately return to civility. But she's saying, nope, can't do that unless we have power. And then Eric Holder just says to kick them in talking about conservatives. I say let them keep talking like this because I think it does no service for liberals in our country. It turns away independents. It scares away moderates. And then these key demographics like women voters, things like this kind of rhetoric is not good. But if they want to keep using it, go right ahead. I mean, go right ahead. The Democrat playbook has been pretty bizarre. And even Heidi Heitkamp, who has got this very tough race, she's a Democrat, to hold on to her seat, voted against Brett Kavanaugh, which I think made it even tougher for her. She had to respond to what Hillary Clinton said. Take a listen.
What do you think about that idea that you can't be civil given the rhetoric coming from the Republicans? Can Democrats, should Democrats not be civil with Republicans?
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, I can't imagine how you get anything done if you don't bring civility back into politics. And that goes for both sides. Ratchet down the rhetoric. I hope that we can find common ground in this country.
Now, Than, that's the moderate Democrat, so-called moderate Democrat. She still was a no on Brett Kavanaugh, didn't even give him a chance. But they try to play up the civility thing. But yet they go, their party leaders are the ones leading the charge to tear down someone like Brett Kavanaugh. She votes no on Brett Kavanaugh. She wants to have it both ways in this race because she plays herself up as, you know, from North Dakota, where we want to be moderate and not too partisan. She's just as partisan as any other Democrat, really.
Well, it's exhibit A of what we were talking about a minute ago, Jordan, that these kind of comments are going to hurt the nominees in the states where the elections are going to be decided. I mean, Heidi Heitkamp's record is pretty far left, Jordan, but she's got to run in a state where she's got to appear moderate. So this kind of rhetoric, even though it might fit in line with her voting record, and I think North Dakotans are starting to see through that, especially after the Brett Kavanaugh debate, it does not help her politically. I would just add one more layer onto this, Jordan, though. I mean, we've talked about how tension is good on issues. Here's the problem for the Democrat Party right now, though. The tension on the issues of the day, you know, whether or not the tax cut was a good one, whether or not the reduction in unemployment is a helpful thing, whether or not the expanding economy is helpful. Jordan, they're on the wrong side of that tension divide right now. So you have to get the conversation off of those issues where there is tension and onto something else that is a distraction. Quite frankly, that dichotomy, Jordan, that's why she's running 10 to 12 points down on Kevin Cramer. She might try to run away from the rhetoric, but her record on the issues is on the side of the tension divide that North Dakotans, I don't think, are likely to agree with.
All right, you know what we do in our final segment of the broadcast, which is coming up in just a couple of minutes. We take all of your phone calls. Phone lines are full right now. But as we take those calls, they open up. So the number, if you want to be on the air, is 1-800-684-3110. During our break, we'll answer some more of your Facebook and Periscope questions because we stay with our Facebook and Periscope audience when we take a short break from our radio audience. So we'll take some of their questions as well. There are so many because people are spread out across the country. It's broadcasted in all the states, all the different congressional districts and places that are very red and places that are very blue in the purple states and in the places in between. And then some of you are in such big states that it just depends on what part of the state you live in or what neighborhood you're in that determines that. So 1-800-684-3110 to take your questions, your comments, and get those in on Facebook and Periscope as well. Let me encourage you to also go to ACLJ.org to stay updated on other issues that we're working on at the American Center for Law and Justice. Pray for all of those affected by Hurricane Michael. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
All right, so we have six phone calls. They're all full. Those are our lines that we have. They're all full right now. If we take a call, one opens up. So if you hear that, you can try to get on the air, 1-800-684-3110. I'm just going to start. You know we're talking politics, 26 days out. Can Republicans maintain control of both the House and the Senate is the bigger question. Now we get to just all of your phone calls. We're going to do it in order of how long people have been holding on. Talk to us on the air. Julie is calling in from California on line three. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm so proud of what the ACLJ does.
Thank you so much, Julie. We appreciate you.
Okay. The House of Representatives, the way it is set up, that it represents the number of persons in a district instead of the number of citizens. And most of the people who come to our country from different countries vote Democrat. So it seems it's really becoming more and more difficult to get Republican majorities in Congress, and even a solid majority, when you have so many people being represented who aren't even citizens of our country.
Well, if they're not citizens, they shouldn't be voting. That's one. So there are censuses. The census goes out that takes account of the people, and that's kind of how the congressional districts are drawn up somewhat. And there's a lot of gerrymandering and things that go around. But remember, you have to be a citizen to vote. If not, you're fraudulently voting. So it's not people who are here who are not citizens that are voting and causing Democrats to win. Now, I think that what you're getting at, though, the bigger issue is the immigration issue, front and center in California. See, this is why I like taking the calls from all across the country, Than, is because you get a call from Julie. She's in Santa Monica, California, and clearly feels a little bit deflated because significant demographic change is coming, even though people may not be citizens yet. And California is one of the bluest states in the country, but Republicans do win in congressional races there. But just that, I just want to tell people, don't worry about the fraud right now. Let the election lawyers for the political parties do that. They are, especially in the close races. Get out there and vote, and get out there and get your friends to vote, Than. That is what's important.
Yeah, that's really what I was going to say too, Jordan. I mean, look, the census is not perfect. The voter fraud issue is not perfect. But I will tell you this, on both of those counts, I think they are the best in the world. So could there be improvement? Yes, there absolutely could. And they're constantly working on it. But that really is the party apparatus job to focus on that. As citizens, you should be educating your friends and family, getting out to vote. And then, yes, keeping an eye on those two processes. But Jordan, if you look around the world, I think you should be privileged to be a citizen of the United States and to have an opportunity to participate in this process.
Yeah, let's go back to the phones. Chris in Nevada on line five. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. I cannot think of one instance where a Republican went low and B, a Democrat then went high. What I've seen is the Democrats go low, and when that doesn't work, they then go lower.
Yeah, I mean, that's the more recent, I think it's fair to say, is that civility has been tossed out the window. And you heard from Hillary Clinton that it will only be restored, in her words, if Democrats take the House or the Senate or both. But without that, no more civility. And as Eric Holder, a former top law enforcement official, said, just kick them. Kick those conservatives. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Back to the phones we go. Jennifer in California, line two, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I volunteer for Congressman Rohrabacher's campaign, which is in the California 48th District. He is very, very, very pro the president's agenda. And right now his opponent is busing people in and bragging about it in L.A. From L.A. They're busing 200 people in, posting photos all over social media to walk the precincts.
Yeah.
I am walking precincts. There's five House seats just in my Orange County area that need volunteers. They need phone bankers. They need walkers. And I just want to tell if anybody is interested in getting involved, please figure out who your local House person
it's
is?
It's easy to do. Yeah, it's easy to do, Jennifer. And I think what you're doing, and I encourage for people on both sides of the aisle to do it, if you've got the time, get involved in the campaigns. Take the next step past voting. Actually, if you've got someone you're backing, do what Jennifer's doing and take time to volunteer. They need your help. You can bring in people from different districts as long as they're just volunteering. That's not an election issue. They can't vote. But you mentioned Roy Bacher's seat. That is California 48, and it is a toss-up, right in the toss-up list of the many California races. So one of those races key to which party takes control of the United States House. Do Republicans maintain control, or do Democrats have a come from minority to majority moment? Back to the phones we go. Ed in Pennsylvania on line one. Ed, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, Jordan. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Ed.
I just wanted to relay, keep the faith, brother, all you listeners out there to this great show. Western PA will vote for Mike Kelly and Keith Rothfuss. Both are Republicans. Both are pro-life. Both are pro-USA. Both are pro-Trump. I live 1 hour north of Pittsburgh, 2 hours south of Erie. We are blue-collar, working, union-building trades. I'm a masonry contractor, a union member.
I hear you.
Believe me, the Democrats have nothing to offer us. We have not seen this much work. 35 years of doing this, Jordan, and 50 years of my dad before me, never has there been this much work. Haven't been able
that
to find great. Anybody.
And let me ask you this. I think you brought up two races. I think it's great. Mike Kelly's Pennsylvania 16. It's a likely GOP race, so I think you're right there if people turn out. But I do have a question about the other one, which they're saying is leaning Democrat. Pennsylvania 17. That's one where Connor Lamb won the special election as a Democrat. You believe the Republican has a real shot there, Ed?
I do. Keith Rothfuss has a real shot there. He's been a great representative. Connor Lamb is lockstep, like our dear president says, with Nancy Pelosi. They keep pounding that message out there. Mr. Trump's got to come sit down there with Keith Rothfuss like he did for Mike Kelly last night. Jordan, 20,000 people in the Erie.
Oh, I know. I watch those rallies. I mean, I think that they're very key. They're very targeted, as you know. As you just said, there's a reason why he was there in that region, Ed, and we appreciate that. I love our listeners because they got so much data to provide us, and we can really get into the details that we love to do, getting into these specific House races. And for everybody out there, just because it's in Pennsylvania in these two races, that is what affects who controls the House of Representatives. Is it Nancy Pelosi is the speaker, or is there a Republican speaker? Let me try to take these final two calls. We got to be quick. Laurie, Virginia, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Laurie. Thanks for taking my call. I'm volunteering on Corey Stewart's campaign for Senate against Tim Kaine.
Yep.
Tim Kaine has like $40 million, and Corey Stewart has maybe two.
Yeah, well, that's a tough race. Tim Kaine's, I don't think that one even makes it onto the list yet. That doesn't mean you don't work hard. You never know how elections are going to turn out. I don't want to play down anyone or tell anyone not to get out there and be excited. You got to get out to vote. But Tim Kaine, as a former VP nominee, and been very popular as a governor in Virginia and a U.S. senator, has become more and more liberal, but so has the state, I have to say, to be honest, in Virginia. We will always keep updating you on politics as we get closer and closer to the midterm elections. 26 days out. Go to aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.